Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The Last of Us episode 7 now has come and gone. We are flying through this season of The Last of Us. Unbelievable. But we know season 2 is already coming, so there's a lot more Last of Us after these next two episodes. Welcome back to The Last of Pods. I'm Brandon Davis.
And I'm Ash Crossan. Let's talk about the freaking DLC.
Yeah, I mean, this is the DLC episode of The Last of Us, which, you know what would have been cool, though? I'll say this before we even react to the episode. It would have been fun if they did like 8 episodes of The Last of Us and then pulled like a Euphoria where they just released one episode. And this was like, you know, like this came later as it did with the game because you played through the game. And I don't remember how much longer. It wasn't too long, but there was some time in between the release of The Last of Us and then there was the DLC. You just paid extra. You got this DLC chapter with Riley and Ellie and the kind of Joel side story that is in this episode. And it was, that would have been fun. That would have been fun if they did that.
I was kind of thinking actually that I thought this would have been a good, maybe like season 2 premiere.
Well, the season 2 premiere is going to be tough as it is. So this would have been a good one. I have to agree. We all imagine that season 2 premiere is going to be pretty tough, but we'll save that for the back half of the back quarter of the show. Let's talk about, on today's show, we're going to talk about our reactions to the episode. We're going to talk about what happened in the game, what happened in the show, how they compare. And then at the end of the show, you know the drill, we are going to talk about what's next according to the games. And this show is very much following the games. There is a few deviations in this episode. There's some big chunks of the story that are just left out, but for the most part, it's pretty accurate to the game. That said, this is, I'm pretty sure, my least favorite episode of season 1.
I have to agree with you. And I don't like, it's not that it was a bad episode. I just felt like, and we were kind of chit-chatting about this before we started recording, like there was just so much going on in the last episode that you just want to like get to. And I just, at this point, don't really want to deviate off of Ellie and Joel anymore. And I was like a little bit like in the game, for example, you cut back and forth between Ellie finding supplies for Joel and then the Riley storyline. But this time we're like completely in the Riley storyline and I didn't really feel like being there.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I keep talking about The Walking Dead on this, not just because there's zombie shows, because there's some similar tropes being used. And I'm sure it's just all of television, but I used to get so frustrated when The Walking Dead would have an epic cliffhanger. And then all of a sudden you're telling a completely different story the next week. Even if the story's good, the audience gets pissed off. Maybe not everybody. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm speaking for myself here. But if this feels like when Glenn went under the dumpster, and it was like, hold on, did Glenn just die under the dumpster and get eaten by zombies? And everybody was furious. Well, that was also kind of a gimmick where they really made it look like Glenn died. But last week, they really made it look like Joel died. And this week, you know, we get a little bit of that, the future with Joel, with Ellie getting back to him. But overall, it does feel like, well, this just took the momentum away. And it was cool when it happened in episode 3. And then, you know, I don't know. I just feel like this one felt a little bit different for me.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where the momentum is building so much to something that you're like, okay, like we can't, yeah. I don't want this type of episode. I don't know if you want to call it a bottle episode, but I will say the ending of the episode really, really got me. Like that's where I really got back in, because there's this part, and I don't know if you want to jump all the way to the end already, but like Ellie sewing Joel up, that got me so hard because I was like, this is the first person she can actually save.
Yeah, and she just has lost so much, and this really just is kind of the punctuation on that. It's the exclamation point on that. Ellie has lost her parents. She's clearly asking about her parents. At this point in the game, she's also asking a lot more about her parents than she is in the show with Riley. And she's just, so as an orphan, presumably, as somebody who has now lost Riley, has lost basically her freedom because she's working at this Fedric camp and basically forced to become, you know, a soldier, a lieutenant, and given that
option.
Yeah,
it's like the stormtrooper program. Like, you just don't have a choice.
Yeah. So she's just like, you know, Joel is this person who she clearly cares about and has, like you said, an opportunity to save them finally, hopefully, even hopelessly. Like, you're just stitching someone up, hoping for the best. Ellie's not a doctor, but it is a beautifully tragic and simultaneously hopeful ending to the episode, which I thought was good. Saying this is my least favorite episode of the series is not to say this was a bad episode. I just think it's the weakest link so far. And it's just like Storm Reid and Bella Ramsey were fantastic in it. And I really, I bought that relationship between these two, they're teenagers. And I was like, these are kids who care about each other. This is awesome. It's a really well written, well acted, well performed, well shot. Like, the mall looked so real and lived in, coming out of Quantumania where everything was fake and I felt like nothing was actually lived in and real. Going into this, it's like, okay, wow, practical sets. This all is legit. It looks stunning. I think the biggest thing though is it was a little bit slow for me, and they took all that momentum away from a huge moment at the end of episode 6.
I think it would have been, like I said, more effective had they cut back and forth between the parallels of, like, because it does parallel in the game. It's like, okay, now this is somebody that Ellie can save or somebody that Ellie can't save. Also, Bella Ramsey and / Ellie's reaction to getting bitten, I started immediately crying because it was just like that, no, 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 no. Like, oh, it got me. It got me so good.
It just seems like every time there's a moment of hope for Ellie, it just gets stripped away from her. Like, it's just every time there's a glimmer of positivity or love in her life, it's just this world's trying to take it from her. And what I love about Ellie is especially the way Bella is playing. And this is true of Ashley Johnson's performance too in the games. It just seems Ellie is almost just so pure. She just wants goodness. She wants good things for herself and everyone around her so badly. The little things excite her. The games being turned on in the arcade, which the game was not. They were broken in the video game.
Yeah, she had to like close her eyes and imagine playing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, the game was so cool. So yeah, if you haven't played the DLC or the game in general, this sequence sees them get into that arcade and all of the games are broken, unlike in the show where all the games are turned on and you can press the buttons and you can play them. So Ellie gets on one of the machines and Riley basically tells her, close your eyes, and narrates what it is like to play the game and tells her what buttons to push and tells her what's happening on the screen. And the game is looking at Ellie and you're pushing the buttons that Riley said. You almost, like, as a gamer, get immersed in it because the background fades kind of to a dark black and the lighting starts to go across Ellie's face as if the TV, the screen on this arcade machine is reflecting on her. And it's this beautiful moment. And it's such a creatively done moment in a video game where you're like playing a game that you're not actually playing and you're watching Ellie experience this thing that we're experiencing it in the moment. We're playing a video game and Ellie will never get the chance to do that. And it just shows how different life is for these characters and how Ellie just wants to appreciate the things that we take for granted. It's such a good moment in the game. And the show does a different version of it where they play the game. Mortal Kombat?
I think it's Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is a big Easter egg throughout this show. I've noticed like quite a few Mortal Kombat references.
Finish him. Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of probably Joel's like go-to line. That man is a savage.
Finish him. Yeah, she plays as Melina. There's also this really cute moment I want to highlight where we're talking about Riley and Ellie's relationship, and it's just like so cute. They're obviously teenagers that are like kind of falling for each other, but there's this moment when they get in the photo booth and Riley takes, she's like, oh, I came prepared with the $5 or whatever, and Ellie's like, have you been here before? Like, and it's just this thing when you're like a teenager starting to like somebody, and you're like, oh, have you taken another girl here before? And it's just like, no, just you. And it's like, you just have that look on her face where she's like, oh, I'm special. It was so cute. Yeah.
And the photo booth scene offers another parallel to the game and another moment of Ellie's positivity. One, it's that same sequence of like making funny faces and you get to pick the face you make in the game. You get to pick two options by pressing a button. And the other is that the photos don't print in the game. The printer is broken, so they don't print. And that's when the electricity goes out. But in the show, they print. And the ink is obviously not in great shape 20 years into the apocalypse. And Ellie sees one photo that kind of comes through. And she says, that one's good. That one's not bad. And it's just like that positivity, that finding the good thing is what Ellie does. And it's really just hard not to love Ellie and Bella's portrayal of this character.
Yeah, there's been so many good moments throughout the show where, you know, she gets in the car for the first time, she sees a hotel for the first time, but and then this one, she gets on an escalator, like a moving escalator for the first time. And I, to this day, love an escalator, so I get it.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color? I thought of the Elf scene where he gets, where Will Ferrell gets on the escalator for the first time as an Elf.
Millennials were doing that for years after that.
Oh my God. I had the escalator in my notes here. The look of the mall, the elevator, the electricity, you know, they just got to flip a switch to turn it all on. The merry-go-round. In the game, though, Riley doesn't get to ride the merry-go-round with Ellie. As soon as she gets on is when the merry-go-round basically dies. And in this one, they get to have a really nice moment where they have a drink. And also in the game, when you explore kind of one of these tents in the mall, they find a cooler and it's got some old, I thought it was like old skunked beer. And Ellie takes a sip of it and it's gross, but then Riley drinks it and it's good. But Ellie says it's too strong. Maybe that's just kind of also what happened in the show, where Ellie doesn't have like experience being like a badass teenager. So tasting alcohol was like, whoa, 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 this is too strong for me. And then Riley's like, I'll throw it back. I'm ready.
Wait, is it in the game? I think it's in the game, not the show, when they are in the photo booth and it asks them to post it on Facebook afterwards.
Yeah,
and
that's the
like,
game.
What
that's
is
game
Facebook?
What's a Facebook? Yeah. Oh my gosh. To not know what Facebook is. Could you imagine the peace of mind we'd all have?
Well, and they're reading the pun book and they're like, what's a screenshot? And they're like, I don't know. Don't know what a screenshot is.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. The pun book is, it's in the show, given from Riley to Ellie. It's the same way it happens in the
You know
the
what? I want to live there. I want to be wiped from the internet.
I'm telling you, the peace of mind that would come with that. Whew, my goodness. But then, I don't know, we wouldn't have jobs. We'd be very much, you and I, out of a job. So
out of a job. The one thing I want to point out, there is, in the game at least, there's so many more infected. All across the game, honestly. But especially like in this scene when the infected go after Ellie and Riley, there's a ton of them in the game. Mm-hmm. Versus in the show, there's one.
Yep. And it's like a whole chase sequence. They're chasing you like the Boulder and Indiana Jones through this mall.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You have to parkour.
Yeah. You're doing all this stuff. And then like you go through one of those mall exits that you usually only see if you work at Starbucks in the Freehold Mall and you close down after hours. Yes, that's a personal shot of my own life. It happened. But those back exits of the mall, and then like they're at the end of it, so you got to turn around and find another door. All this stuff that like it's just a really intense, fast-paced chase with the infected. And I do feel like the show would have benefited from having more infected and making them more of a looming threat. But I kind of understand that they're focusing more on the characters, their interactions, and all of that, instead of having to fight off the infected constantly. Like then you just become something The Walking Dead did, where the zombies are just kind of an afterthought by the, you know, season 9, 20 years into the apocalypse. They're pretty good at killing these things, I guess.
Yeah. It's so one thing I want to talk about is this also happens in the DLC as well as in the show. We kind of have this ending where it's ambiguous what happens after. Like, it just is like, they're like, we have three options. Okay, let's go. And then end of episode, end of DLC. Do you want to know what happens in these moments? Like, would you want to see that? Or do you like that it's more of this, like, eerily, I don't even want to think about what happened when...
I like this. It's kind of like the Hitchcock approach of like, let the imagination fill it in, because it doesn't define the story really one way or another. If you know, you know, the exact moments, it's almost worse to have to think about it in your head. Like, oh my gosh. Cause you put yourself in those shoes when you think about it that way. I think you sit there and you think like, what would I do? What would I have chosen? You know, what happens when that camera cuts to black and the credits start rolling, man, what happened?
Yeah. Did Riley turn? She had to kill her. There also has to be this moment where she's like, why am I not turning yet?
Yeah. And yeah.
I just go back home now? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I like that they didn't show that. I've said all along, I want to see Joel's backstory. I want to see those things. Those are kind of details I think would be fun to explore, and they could add a little bit of depth to it. And there's ways that this could add some depth to Ellie's story, but I do think that we kind of get the gist of it. It was ugly. Something bad had to happen, And we kind of know the key pieces of the events there, even if we don't know their exact order or how they went down. I do think that it's more immersive to make you think about it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it makes it almost darker and scarier. And
what would you have done?
It's so weird because it's like, I would be like, I don't know. I'd be like, well, I'm about to turn two. So do I just let, what if they took the quote unquote easy way out? Then we would just.
There would be no Last of Us.
There would be no Last of Us.
Joel would be chilling with Tess in the Boston QZ.
Because I feel
drugs.
Like I'd be like, I'm not, I'd be like the Tess route where I'd be like, I'm not going to turn into one of those things. So
I think I'd personally just be like, well, let's see what happens. You know, I think personally, I don't know if I'd be able to just be like, well, take the quote unquote easy way out. I think I might just sit there and be like, well, maybe it won't happen to me.
Or be like, you know what? I'm going to become a bloater.
I'm going to spread this infection. I'm going to throw my spores at everybody. If you see Ash get bit in a zombie apocalypse, everybody put her down.
She'll be down quick.
It is a liability.
Over for you, hoes.
I want to talk about the thing that happened, the portion of the game that doesn't happen in the show that you've alluded to. It's to me a really interesting part, and I kind of wish it happened. I get why it didn't. Like I said on the show on Last of Pause before, the pacing of the game, if you play on easy mode and kind of just are burning through it at a decent pace, is pretty on par with the pace of the show so far. The runtime of the game is similar to the run. I'd say the runtime of the game is a little bit longer, even if you're playing on easy mode, but it's pretty close. An hour, 20 minutes is about each episode of the show. This DLC, I'd say with both stories unfolding, took about an hour and a half, an hour, 40 minutes to get through for the second time on easy mode. And it took the show completely removed a portion of it where Ellie goes to this mall years later, the same mall with from Riley. I think it can't be the same mall because that would be on the East Coast and they're out in Colorado. It's not the same mall, but she goes to a mall while this flashback at the mall is happening. And she's runs into the same people who Joel got injured fighting, more of that group. And she kills so many of them in this mall and infected. And you, actually, really interestingly, you get to use the infected as a weapon. Like you can throw a brick while these people are looking for you and the infected will go attack the bad guys. And it's great. And you can kind of try to sneak out, but sometimes you do just have to kill the infected and the bad guys. But there's always been like this helicopter that crashed into the mall years ago and it's got medical supplies in it. You got to like do like a high rope thing to on this piece of broken metal to get into the helicopter and get the medical supplies. And Ellie's so excited to find them after not being able to find them in this pharmacy. And I thought that was a really interesting part of the story. And it does require Ellie killing a lot of people and doing all that stuff, because I think if they remove all that the way they have largely for the show, it would be pretty dull of a side story of Ellie just walking through this empty mall. But it's a really interesting part of the game that I think if you don't know about it, if you listen to us and you don't know the game, I think it's interesting to hear about.
Yeah, I wish they do have in the game, Ellie kills a lot of people versus in the show, they make her seem a little more like innocent to the world and being like, oh, like, I don't want you to have to hold a gun. But in this one, she is like shiving people left and right, knifing them in the head. Like she's a killing machine at this
point. And she's yelling at people too. Like, after she does this whole fight, trying to escape the mall with the medical supplies, she goes down this broken escalator and she's just like, if anybody's out there, you better not try and shoot me because I'll kill you like your friends. She's just such a badass in the game. And she's not tough in the show. She's tough as nails in the show. It's just different. It's not different. As kind of violent. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I do wish, I know I keep saying this, I do wish they included that part of the story. I think it's an interesting parallel. That being said, I think the end of the episode was so beautiful. Just like her having that moment of being like, I'm going to save this guy. I'm not going to let him die. Everyone around me has died. I got you.
I find the Marlene stuff to be pretty interesting because the show seems to be adding a bit more context to Marlene and her history with Ellie than the game does. Like Ellie frequently asks about Marlene and there's very little information. In the show, it looks like Marlene has more of a connection to Ellie's parents early on.
Yes. Oh, and I forgot in the preview, we haven't gotten Ashley Johnson yet.
Ashley Johnson, the OG Ellie. Shows up in The Last of Us. Troy Baker shows up in The Last of Us.
We'll talk about this in a bit, but
we'll talk about this in the back quarter of the show.
Yeah.
But I'm curious what they might do with Marlene what they might do, if anything, with Ellie's parents, because there's really not much about Ellie's parents in the game other than questions. No. There's a little bit more. Anything is more than the games really give you. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. They find a body in this episode, right, when they first walk into the mall, right?
They're like walking through the tunnels or wherever they are, and they're like, oh, and Riley's like, oh, this wasn't here yesterday.
It like falls through the floor.
Yeah.
And then that reminded me of there's a sequence in the game where you're in the mall as Ellie and you have to escape a fight through like an air vent, and you're not intentionally following it, just so happens the path has a trail of kind of blood on it. And if you follow the trail of blood to a dead end in the air vent, you find a skeleton there with a tape recorder. The game loved planting tape recorders. People apparently loved leaving tape recorders behind in the apocalypse, just so people could know.
So many notes and so many tape recorders to find.
And the tape recorder, if you play it all the way through, it's this guy who's seemingly just dying, and clearly he died because his skeleton is there. But he talks about how he's getting tired and he's cold and he's just going to take a rest. And he tried to fight people off, but he doesn't know if he's going to make it. And he's like, I'm just going to take a rest now. And then the tape ends and there's the skeleton there. So I wonder, I kind of wonder if those are supposed to be intentional parallels, just finding bodies in the mall. But it's cool. I mean, I do think they do a wonderful job on paying homage to the game and following this story.
Yeah, I completely agree. I also just love, the way that The Last of Us does load screens, because they just have like Joel going through like a little tunnel and that's the game loading. And I learned that recently and I was like, oh, that's fun.
They had the werewolf masks, the werewolf and the clown mask straight out of the game. The music was straight out of the game. There is a witch mask you can switch into in the game, but I switched to, and then I put the werewolf mask back on because I liked it more.
Yeah. There's also a part where they find like a Take On Me, Aha, Take On Me tape or something. And that is also the song that they use in the trailer.
And then Riley dies.
Supposedly.
Well, yeah, imagine that. Imagine if Riley is also immune. And like The Last of Us Part 3 is like, psych, she's still alive.
She's still alive. We never saw a body. We know the rules.
Yeah, that's true. No, I do think Riley is dead.
Yeah, no, 100%.
But that would be crazy if that would completely change everything we know about The Last of Us. But I don't know if that would be a good thing. That would really cheapen Ellie's story.
100%. But yeah, this is the catalyst for the entire story of The Last of Us, is this DLC. So, mm-hmm.
And if you look back at the show, there have been teases of Riley all along the way. Riley has been name dropped. When Tess was kind of interrogating Ellie when they were first walking together across that bridge, I think just outside of Boston, she said, no parents looking for you, no boyfriend coming for you. And Ellie was just like, no boyfriend. It's because, well, yeah, she kind of had a girlfriend, so there's definitely no boyfriend. So there's just been like, teases of Riley mentioned throughout the show.
The pun book that she has was given to her in this episode by Riley. Mm-hmm.
And now that adds a whole new meaning of why she holds it so close to her, why she loves puns so much. And the fact that Joel starts telling her puns is probably just a straight line to Ellie's heart.
I know. And Joel, like in the beginning of the episode, just telling her to leave, go take the gun, go back to Tommy. And she's like, no, Joel, shut up. I am saving your freaking life.
Yeah. I just think the writing on this is so genius.
Genius.
The subtle details that if you look back at things, they're all there. The character development. The Last of Us is just... it's just a masterfully written story. It's a masterclass in character building. And I really like, I think I said this on our show, but I don't know where I heard this quote the first time, but a good writer makes you love a character. A great writer makes you suffer for it. And that's what they're doing here. That's what Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann are doing to us. They make us suffer time and time again for falling in love with these characters. And I think it's great writing.
Yeah, I think it's the best video game adaptation of all time.
Oh, yeah. Until Dave Bautista plays Marcus Fenix in a Gears of War movie. then that's gonna be the best thing ever.
That it's game on.
Also, Chris Pratt is playing Mario, so
lest we forget that Chris Pratt is playing Mario.
I'm actually, I can't, maybe out of curiosity, but I cannot wait to see that movie. I think it's gonna be,
you know what, I was prepared to make fun of it, and then I saw the trailer and I was like, this actually looks really good.
The trailer's good. The trailer's
really good.
I'm saying the trailer is good. The movie looks beautiful. So I actually like just can't wait to see it. And I'm going to go in there with an open mind and hopefully like it, because I'm going to watch it. I want to like everything I watch. I'm watching it. So might as well try to enjoy it.
Yeah, I live to hate watch, but I don't think that's going to be the case here.
We're going to take a quick 1 minute break. And when we come back, we may have some final notes about this episode, but we're going to dive into our full spoiler section for what is next on the show, according to the games. Not from having seen anything, not from anything we know that you don't, just from the video games. If you don't want to know anything, that is your stepping off point. We will see you in a moment.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome back to The Last of Pods. BD here with my good friend Ash Cross, and we are talking about The Last of Us Episode 7, the DLC of the game. Now it's time to talk about the next hours of the game and what to expect in The Last of Us Episode 8 and 9. We only have about 2 hours left of this show. I can't believe it. Ash, can you believe we're this far along already?
It's the pace in which we're trucking along is wild to me.
Seriously.
Would you have liked more episodes, or do you feel like this is perfect?
I don't know that this show needed more of, like, the only thing I think it needed more of was Infected and some action. The only, we got one bloater and it was in episode 5, and that's kind of the most action-packed moment we've had through 7 episodes, which I don't think people are watching this for the action necessarily, and I don't think they're writing it as some kind of zombie epic action thriller. It's a character story, I get it, but that's the only thing I would have liked to see more of is the reason why the world is so dangerous. We've gotten tastes of it and we understand it, but that's as kind of a apocalyptic junkie, I think that's the only thing I would have really liked more of.
Yeah. Well, we mentioned before the break, we are getting into spoilers as it pertains to the game. So if you are not interested, this is your stepping off point. But I think we've talked about this so many times. One of my favorite things is not the infected. It's the scarier part are the humans that live in the wild. And the next episode, I assume, because this is what happens in the game, we are getting the worst people on the freaking planet. And they are so freaking scary.
They're the terminus of The Last of Us. Did you watch Walking Dead? I keep making references. I don't know if you watched it.
No, I know it's your thing, so I just expect you to explain it to me.
Yeah, Terminus is, this will make sense to you when I explain it. Terminus is, there's like this community that they keep... They have like this these signs all over the place and train tracks and all this stuff that says those who arrive survive, and they pose themselves as these really great people, and like the Walking Dead group is all scattered and they go to Terminus, and when they get to Terminus they get herded into a train car, and they get like fed and treated nicely for a second, but really they get herded into a train car and they realize this group of people at Terminus is a bunch of cannibals.
So exactly like this.
It pretty much is exactly what happens here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so... Ellie gets like befriended by this guy who kind of like saves her from an infected, and then turns out he is an evil cannibal.
Yeah. And there's only one way to handle cannibals. Eat them.
If you can't eat them.
Would that be like, if you're a cannibal? Oh God. That's like 16 walls.
Give them a taste of their own medicine, right?
Oh my gosh. I don't want to taste any of that medicine. Gross.
Yeah.
So there's some crazy action scenes with you're playing as Ellie through a lot of this in the game.
Yeah.
And you're fighting off cannibals and burning the place down.
I got to say, Brandon, I know you said you wanted to see more infected. I think we are on probably one of our last infected of the show.
What do you mean?
Because we got the one that bit Riley and Ellie. And then I think in the next one, at least in the game, the guy saves her from an infected. But then, like, we don't get that much after that.
Yeah, no, it's very human to human in surprising ways, because Joel kind of becomes the scary human.
Yeah.
Yeah, he becomes John Wick. You don't mess with his dog. And by dog, I mean Ellie. Like, That's his dog right there. He got that dog in him. Joel, they get to that hospital in Salt Lake City in that ninth hour of the game. He says, "You are not cutting into her brain. I don't care. Like, that's my little girl now." And goes ham on the whole hospital. And that results
whole oh my God, that whole sequence where it's red, the alarm is going off, he's carrying Ellie. It is just so...
Best video game experience of my life.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's in terms of storytelling, like, I think it's just the most genius. You have no choice but to do this, whether you agree with it or not. And I'll say it again, and I'll talk about this when the show gets to this point. I really do think I probably would have been doing what Joel did in this world. It's the apocalypse. I'm not saying my little girl's in the hospital right now, she can save the world, and the world is like it is outside, I'm going to go kill the whole hospital. I promise you that's not what I'm saying. But anybody who says it's an easy decision, and I'm not even a parent, I think parents probably will relate to this even more. If your kid is right there, and they're saying, well, we got to kill them, we might be able to help people, the people who are left.
Not a guarantee.
It's not a guarantee, but we can guarantee we're going to kill them to do this. But we're handcuffing you, and we're taking you outside. And you can't do anything to stop us. You can't even go say goodbye. I don't know, man. I might go John Wick as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's so complicated, but I've always just, I'm Team Joel. And especially as Pedro Pascal as Joel, I'm really going to ride or die for this man.
Yeah, I feel like Joel's going to have even more on his team now with Pedro playing him.
Yeah.
But the game ends in this incredible way that it's like he lies to Ellie. He tells her, you know, there was nothing they could do. And she's like, tell me you swear. And he says, I swear. And that's where he swears that the hospital got raided, that people died, and that there was nothing they could do, and that they just need to go live with Tommy. And he swears, and that's how the game ends.
And
it's
she,
just like, damn.
And the look in her face, and she kind of knows, kind of doesn't. It's...
I mean, it's masterful storytelling, because you're as a gamer, you're conflicted. As an audience member, you're conflicted. You understand both sides of it. You understand why Joel did what he did. You understand why Ellie would have been willing to sacrifice herself. Not that they gave her a choice. They didn't make her aware of this, that she would have had to die.
But she would have. She.
I think she probably would have said, yeah, to it. She wants to help people so badly. And the show has made that even more emphatic than the game did.
Yeah, I agree. So
I think that when we get to that point in the show, it's going to make more sense from both sides, and it's going to hurt more. But then you get to part two, and it's like, well, there's consequences for that action, Joel. Damn. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that at the end of whenever this hospital stuff happens, we'll talk about that and see what should be next.
We'll finally talk about The Last of Us 2.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, next up should be the cannibals and some crazy action sequences and human to human conflict.
Yeah, I mean, if there's two episodes left, we're getting cannibals, then we're getting hospital, and then that is it.
And giraffes.
Oh my God. I hope we get the giraffe. I don't tell me.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen anything. I don't watch the show. What are you talking about? All right, y'all. I feel like that's a great place to end this week's show. This is so much fun. Thank you to everybody who listens to The Last of Pods with us. Thank you to everybody who leaves positive feedback and sends us your tweets and your comments and your messages and everything, and helps us with booking our previous guests. We're hoping to get a couple more awesome guests before it's all said and done with season one. And you all supporting the show is certainly helping us make that possible. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Yes, we got some good things cooking, I hope.
Well, on behalf of Ash Crossan and E.T., I am comicbook.com's Brandon Davis. We will see you in 1 week. We have two more episodes of The Last of Pods and a possible bonus episode on the way. Can't wait to chop it all up with you. See you there.
See you later.